Now's the time when things are shifting. There's gonna be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
What's going on, everyone? This is End Time Headlines, and it is Thursday, June 16th. We welcome you to the broadcast today. We've got a good one lined up for you today. Today is going to be a word of exhortation or equipping. We do this time to time. So again, we welcome you to the broadcast. If you're new and this is your first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you are indeed new to the broadcast, or if this is your first time joining us, so that we can acknowledge you and welcome you to the broadcast. Again, I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. Again, thank you today who are watching, listening by live or by the rebroadcast, whether it's on Apple or Spotify or Rumble or YouTube, or even through our app. Speaking of the app, if you've not downloaded our free app today, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. Please don't forget to do that. You can download it today, and it's free, and it's available on Apple, and it's available on Android right there on your screen. You can see there our official ETH logo. If you're listening by Spotify or Apple, just go to either Apple or Android, depending on what device you have in your hand. Go to your Play Store. Just type in End Time Headlines. Look for our official ETH logo and download our free app. And you're going to keep up with all of our headlines and our podcast that will be available to you regularly. If you're listening by Rumble, YouTube, or by Facebook Live, in the description right underneath this title, you're going to see a description. It says download our free app. There's a link right there provided. All you got to do is simply click on that link, and it's going to take you. It's easy to do. Click on the link, and then you're going to come to another screen where it's going to either be an Apple logo or the Android logo, depending on your device. You click on that, and you can download it free today. So I want to talk about today. This is going to be good. I think you're going to enjoy this. If you guys like these kind of messages, they are equipping messages, and I just want to try to encourage some folks. I want to talk about, this is one of the major reasons why God allows us as believers to go through trials in this life. Again, I want to say that this, of course, there's many reasons, but this is one major reason that God allows, or he permits, believers, born again believers, those in covenant with him, sons and daughters. This does not include, and I want to emphasize this, this does not include non-believers. This only applies to followers and believers in the Lord. Why? One of the main reasons why he allows us to go through trials. We're going to go through a lot of scripture today. So if you want to follow us in your Bible, if you're listening by Spotify or Apple, if you have a Bible, we want to encourage you to pull it out and follow us there. If you're watching this or listening to this visually, we're going to have a lot of scripture up around your screen that you can watch or follow with us. Proverbs 3, 11 through 12. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. This was written by Solomon, the son of David. He wrote, "My son," and you could put daughter, "my son," or daughter, again, those in covenant with the Lord, "do not despise or reject or resist the chastening of the Lord." Somebody say chastisement. Let me say that again, chastisement. All three of these words we're really going to home in today. Do not despise, reject, or resist the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Now, I want to talk to all the mothers and the fathers and the grandmothers and the grandfathers that are watching or listening to today's broadcast. This is really going to make sense to you. When you have children or grandchildren, this message is really going to come alive to you. As a father of two boys myself, really one boy and one teenager, this really makes sense to me. I'm going to read you another verse of scripture here. This is out of the book of Job. Job chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Job 5, 17 through 18. Now, when I read this, you're going to be like, what? Like, what did he just say? Listen to this. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. Now, listen to this. For he, God, bruises, but he binds up. Now, we're going to come back to this later in this message. He bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole. Oh, come on. Glory to God. I know where I'm going today. I said the Lord Almighty, he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole. See, I know for a fact, it is inevitable that everyone listening today, this message will either apply present tense, it will apply past tense, or it's going to apply to you future tense. So you're not going to avoid this. If you are a son and you're a daughter of the Most High, every individual under the sound of my voice is either gone through, going through, or will go through the chastening of the Lord. Now you say, what do you mean? Well, the word chastening or chastisement literally means, listen to me, to correct by punishment or by suffering, to purify, to prune, or to cause to be more humble or restrained. So let's just say it like this. When we break down this word, it means to bring about correction, at times through punishment, howbeit suffering, to bring about purification, to bring about pruning, in order to cause one to be humbled or to be restrained. A deeper understanding of that word restrained is to be disciplined. Now I said, if you are a father, a mother, a grandmother, or a grandfather, you will appreciate this word I'm about to share with you today. Because our sons and daughters or grandsons and granddaughters are going to go through things in life. And we, as guardians over them, as earthly guardians, at times are going to have to bring them in seasons of correction and discipline, and to them and to their perception will appear to be as suffering, when in reality, it is for the purpose, come on somebody, for them to grow and to properly mature and to be self-disciplined, so that as they grow older, they will become more wise and they will make wiser decisions. And for one, they can live out the fullness of their days. Read the whole book of Proverbs. These are Proverbs written for our instruction on how to live this life to its fullest. And I'm not talking about a self-motivational message. I'm talking about to live the fullness of our days, to live a long life, to be healthy, to be strong, to be wise. And Solomon lays it out. Now, again, Solomon is the son of David. And how many knows that if you're the son of David and you watched your father go through his own personal chastisements, hello, and corrections of God that humbled David, that purified him and took him through a process of pruning in order to humble him and discipline him so that he could become the man of God that God called him to be. Even while he was out in the field tending to, come on, the sheep and warding off the bears and the lions, God saw potential in him, and God also saw that he was going to have to allow David to go through seasons of chastisement. Oh, some of y'all ain't listening to me today because you ain't ever walked through this yet, maybe. Maybe you're too young in the Lord, but I'm telling you, as you grow in the Lord and as you get further in the Lord and you keep serving the Lord, you will remember the day that Brother Ricky taught on this, and you'll be, the light bulb will go off, and you'll say, man, I remember when that preacher from Kentucky was talking about this one day. Let me break this down a little bit more simpler to you. Let me go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 9, where the writer, I believe it was the Apostle Paul, some believe it was not, but nevertheless, we're not going to dispute over the author of it, because regardless of who the author was, we know that he was inspired by the Holy Ghost. So let me talk about this. Hebrews 12, verses 4 through 9. Ready? Quote, you have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speak to you as sons, and we'll put daughters, because we have sons and daughters in the audience today, or listening today by podcast, or watching. My son or daughter, listen to this, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. I said, don't despise it. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Now, notice the Apostle Paul echoed what Solomon said. Listen to this, verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Oh, I said, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. I said, some of y'all need to listen today. Even you, even those who've come on the broadcast with the intent to disrupt the broadcast and to cause division and strife and discord, God even loves you, sir. He even loves you, even in your mess, even in your intent. The Bible says, even while we were yet sinners, God loved us and gave himself for us. But listen, I want to distinctly talk to sons and daughters today. Those people need to get saved. But to those who are already saved today, and to you, it feels like, man, I've just been going through some stuff. I go through one trial, come out on the other end and go through this trial. It seems like this door shuts and this door won't open. It seems like this happened and that happened and this ain't going the way that I thought it would go. And I've lost some friends over here. I've had some family members that won't talk to me over here because of my choices I've made in Christ. It looks like I'm hated at my job now because of my choices in Christ. All this and this and that. Listen. Could it be possible that God has allowed things to take place in your life, not because he hates you, not because he despises you, not because he's mad at you, not because you're not his favorite. It's because he loves you enough that he, come on somebody, he doesn't want you involved in these people that are going to pull you away from him. He doesn't want you to get the job that is going to pull you farther from him. He won't allow you to get the amount of money that you've been praying for, because he understands that you can't be faithful over what is little, and he can't trust you to be, come on, ruler over what is much. Could it be possible that God loves you so much that he's not permitting or allowing things to come about in your life? Again, not because he hates you, not because he despises you, but because it's good fatherly love. Let me make this real practical to you. There is things that my teenage son would like to have, and there's things that my seven-year-old son has asked me for, and there's things that I felt that they were responsible enough to get. So I allowed them to have them. But then there's other things that I didn't feel that they were mature enough or disciplined enough for them to receive those things. And it's not because I didn't love them. It's not because they were not my sons or they weren't good enough. It's because they could endanger themselves with, they could injure themselves, they could hurt themselves, they could get in trouble with the very thing that they're asking for without realizing, because of their level of maturity, that the danger that awaits them. And that's where I have the perception to see the end or the outcome as their earthly father. And as your heavenly father is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and has a perception of all things, it is possible that this is what's going on in our lives. Let me read on. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Come on, I know that's great news, and you want to underline that right there and just hang that up on your refrigerator. How would you like, listen, could you imagine if you got saved at the church and you gave your heart to the Lord and somebody gave you that scripture and said, now, brother, now, sister, we're glad you gave your heart to the Lord and congratulations on being a son or a daughter. But now we want to tell you that now you need to be prepared, because God loves you so much that he's going to bring about a season of chastisement and scourging because he's received you as a son or a daughter. Man, I'm telling you, we'd lose half the church right there. But listen, I'm not trying to gain a following today, and therefore, I'm not sugarcoating it today. My responsibility as a teacher and one who is called to do this is to properly equip you. Why? So that you can grow in your walk with God and be rooted and grounded in your faith. Listen to this. For what son or daughter is there whom a father does not chasten? Now, he's switching the apostle Paul, or whoever wrote Hebrews here, the author is switching from a heavenly perspective back to an earthly perspective. And he says, what son or daughter does not have a father in whom he chastens him? But listen to this. Oh, this is good right here. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Now, the King James there for illegitimate uses a word that would probably be offensive to a lot of you, so I'm not going to read it. But if you go back and read the original language and the King James, and there is a word there that's used as a swearing word, and it's the word for illegitimate. Now, I come by to tell you today, listen to me. Listen to this preacher today. When you complain about being corrected and going through correction and going through chastisement, and being disciplined by God or going through a pruning process. Listen, no wonder the author said, count it joy. Be joyful. You want to know why? Because listen, if God ever gets to a point where he stops correcting me, stops chastising me, stops convicting me in my life, then I need to be worried. Then I need to be concerned, because that means that I am no longer, listen, qualified or recognized as a son or a daughter. The word illegitimate means to be not qualified or recognized. And he says here, if you are without chastising, you are illegitimate and not sons and daughters. Oh, you need to be thankful that the Holy Ghost gets up in your business and tells you that you need, come on, to sever some relationships. You need to be thankful that the Holy Spirit gets up in your business and tells you to not watch that mess on television. You better be thankful that the Holy Spirit tells you, you better turn off that radio. You better turn off that, come on, that profanity filled, vulgar filled music that you're listening to. You need to come on the Holy. You need to be thankful that the Holy Spirit has kept you out of some places that you used to hang out with and you used to be yoked in and you used to be partakers of. Come on. You need to be thankful that the Holy Spirit is with you from the time you get up in the morning. Come on, to the time you put your head down at night, and he has come alongside of you as the Paracletos, the comforter, and he's leading you and he's guiding you and he's correcting you and he's rebuking you when need be. I am thankful. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody take a second and just say, thank you, God, for the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. Verse 9, this is Hebrews 12, 9. Furthermore, now he switches back and he goes to earthly fathers. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in the subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Are you, come on, are you hearing that today? Wow. Let me read on. Let's go to verse 10. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Whoa, do you see that? He shifted again, went back to heavenly perspective. He says, but he, God Almighty, Yahweh, Elohim, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Yes, that's not a cuss word in the church. Holiness. Listen to this. Now, no, let me pull this up on the screen. I've got scripture for this. I want you to follow with me here. Look at it. Look at verse 11. This is Hebrews 12, 11. For those who are watching the visual of this. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Nobody. None of you, if I set you down today and I interviewed you and you know that you're being chastised, God's dealing with you in areas of your life. God's bringing correction. God's bringing rebuke. God's bringing discipline. None of you are going to be saying, this is the best time, preacher, that I have ever had in my life. I mean, I've lost some friends, hallelujah. I've lost some co-workers as buddies, hallelujah. I can't go to the places I used to go. I can't do the things I used to do because I'm so convicted. Come on, somebody. Nobody is going to be rejoicing over it. In the present. Somebody say in the present. But look at this. It says no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Can I get a witness today? Oh, but he says, nevertheless, afterward. Somebody say afterward. Somebody say this too shall pass. Somebody say it's going to end soon. Somebody say the cloud's going to depart. The pruning's going to stop. The discipline will cease. The correction will cease. He said afterward. He said, listen to this. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Did you know that God wants to train you by correction? He wants to train you by discipline. He wants to train you through seasons of chastisement. Because I hate to tell you, this is not a one-step process. This is not a quick pill. It's not a quick fix. It's not a sign it on the dotted line. And it's going to be a one-time thing, a 30-day process, and it's over. I'm telling you, from the day you said yes to him to the day that you give up the ghost, you give up the Holy Spirit, you give up your soul and spirit, or you get come on harpezo out of here, from the day that you depart from this earth, from day one to the end of your life, you are going to go through seasons of correction. You're going to go through seasons of discipline. You're going to go through seasons of chastisement. But God wants to get us to a place where we begin to recognize what's going on. We begin to recognize that the Heavenly Father is pulling out his shears, and he wants to do a little bit of pruning. Oh, I'm going to talk a little bit more about pruning in just a minute. So just hang on with this preacher for just a few minutes. But if we begin to recognize this, we'll begin to recognize that in times past, it was painful. It was not a joyous occasion, but hallelujah, we made it through it. We made it through the process. We made it through with a little bit less friends, but I'm going to get to that in just a minute. We're going to come back to that. But I'm going to tell you, if you lose some friends on the way, I'm going to tell you there's a reason for it. If God shuts a door at one job and opens another, there's a reason for it. If God allows you to go through one thing or go through this thing, there's a reason for it. Whew. Listen what he says. Oh, he says, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Listen to this, verse 12, therefore, and I come by to tell you this, listen, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Some of y'all ain't got just your hands hanging down, you got your head hanging down. And you say, well, preacher, look around. There's a reason my head is hanging down. The economy's going down the toilet. Inflation is here. Recession is knocking at the door. Depression is right behind it. I've lost my job. I'm losing my health. My marriage is on the rocks. My children are all revolting against me. I can't feel the presence of God. I can't do this. It's like all hell's coming against you. Yes, I know. And that's why I came by today, not with a message on prophecy, not with a news update and to keep you and not some information, but I came today with some revelation knowledge. Because listen, brothers, listen, sisters, I'm in your family with you. You may not like me. We've got some brothers that came on here earlier. They don't like me, and it's obvious. But I got news for you. If you plan on making it to heaven, there's not going to be segregated places in heaven. You're going to have to get used to me, and I'm going to have to get used to you. Whether you like my skin color, whether I like your skin color, whether I'm Democrat, whether I'm your Republic or your Republic and I'm Democrat, whether you're the Baptist or whether you're, come on, whether you're Presbyterian or you're the first or the second or whatever you may be, I'm trying to tell you today that we better get this thing right on this side of heaven, or we're going to be miserable when we get to that side of heaven. So listen, God is correcting some folks. God is chastising some folks. God is taking some folks through some seasons of pruning. And he's trying to teach us to be trained by it. So strengthen your hands today. Strengthen those hands and that hang down in those feeble knees. In verse 13 of Hebrews 12, it says, make your path straight for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Rather be healed. Oh, I'm going to, listen, we're going to, all this is going to circle back around in just a minute. Let me pull up some more scripture here. See, Jesus gave us a more clear picture of this in John 15. He called himself the true vine, and he said that the Heavenly Father is the vine dresser. And he said that we are his branches. Let me say that again. Yeshua is the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser, and you and I are branches. And he says, every branch in him that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Come on, I said he prunes. Why? So that it may bear more fruit. Oh, let me talk about pruning. See, here's the thing you need to know about pruning in the natural. Pruning actually promotes new growth. I said pruning promotes new growth. When you remove struggling or unattractive branches, your tree is then able to dedicate more resources to other parts of the plant. Oh, yeah, I got to say that again for the back row. When God begins to remove struggling and unattractive branches, then of the tree, it is able to dedicate more resource to other parts of the plant. Listen, I'm trying to tell you today, there's things that you thought that you needed to hold on to in your life, that you needed to be a part of your life. Those things have been struggling for a long time. They're unattractive. They don't bear any fruit. They make you ugly. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about they don't bear any fruit. I'm talking about the attitudes. I'm talking about the personality. I'm talking about losing your patience. I'm talking about your mouth. I'm talking about some ugly habits. I'm talking about some ugly, come on, relationships. I'm talking about some ugly things in your life that the devil is trying to convince you that you just got to have this. You can let God come in and bring the shears and cut away this and cut away that. But don't let him cut that away, because you got to keep and hold on to that one thing. Come on, I know it's hard. I know it's painful. But I'm telling you, if we allow the Heavenly Father to come in with the shears and allow him to prune and take away those things that are dead and damaged. Oh, do I got anybody in the house today? That there's areas of your life, if you was to be truthful with this preacher today, and you would say, there is things in my life that are dead, unproductive, and damaged, and they need to be trimmed and cut away. They've been weights that have weighed you down, that has held you back. You go into the church service, you can't lift your hands like you would really want to lift your hands because of the weight of the dead, unproductive, and damaged things that you want to hold on to. You want to get your praise on, but you can't praise him like you really want to. You want to go deep in the word, but you can't go as deep as you want to. You want to go all the way into the deep waters, but you can't because of the dead, the unproductive, and the damaged things that you're holding on to. These things push out regrowth in an effort to balance out the top of trees with existing root systems in the natural. Generally, you'll see the new growth around, oh, this is so good. You will see new growth in the very areas that you pruned. I don't know about you guys, but I want to get to a place in my walk with God that when I go out and I get around individuals that know me, that have a relationship with me, they get around me and they'll say, wow, what has happened to you? Your talk is different. Your actions are different. The way you respond to something is different than the way that you used to respond in the past. I can't believe the you that I used to know was quick to pop off and say this or that, but we've noticed There is something different about you. What is those scars on you? And you can say, thank you, my friend. Those were things that the Heavenly Father had to remove from my life and cut out of my life. And thank you for noticing the fruit that is manifested. Come on, somebody. When we allow the Lord to bring correction and rebuke in our lives, it is essentially giving Him the green light to prune our lives, to remove these things in our life that are not bearing fruit in order to stimulate new growth in our walk with God. This is not an issue about salvation today. I'm not talking about are you saved? I'm talking about are you bearing fruit? Are you allowing God to train you in seasons of correction and discipline? Or are you content with mediocre and where you are? Oh, listen, I'll get all up in your business today. Listen, some of you, I can gauge how lukewarm you are by the type of friends that you hang out with and associate with. Because listen, you know what I've discovered in my life? The more I allow God to prune me and the more dead stuff He cut off of me, the smaller my circle of friends became. Because what I've realized is the reality is most quote unquote Christians only allow just a little smidget of a pruning to take place because they will only allow the cut to go so deep and then they stop. Come on, the shears, because they don't want to give up lifestyles that they are accustomed to. They don't want to give up friends that they like. They don't want to give up doing things that they enjoy. Now, preacher, listen to me. I don't have a problem going to church. I don't have a problem reading the Bible on my time and my stipulations. I don't have time. I don't have a problem with giving a little bit of money to the church or doing whatever this. But if you're going to tell me that I'm going to have to give up the things that I enjoy and I like to do on my time, then you can keep your shears to yourself. Oh, I'm preaching today. Listen to this. Listen what John said right here. I got to pull this up. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I said, we've got to abide in Him. Now listen to this. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me, this is Jesus speaking, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Oh, listen, there's a heavy interpretation of that verse right there that went right over most people's heads. Listen, if we're truly abiding in Him and Him and us, what we ask and what we desire is going to be found in His word, is going to be found in His will, is going to be found in His characteristics and His attributes. Because listen, it is impossible to abide in Him and have a desire to do something that would grieve Him. And He said, by this, my Father will be glorified that you bear much fruit. Now, look at this. Now we're going to get a little bit deeper. You say, now we're going to get a little bit deeper? Yeah, we're going to get deeper. I want to show you something that David said. Look at this. David, in the book of Psalm, chapter 119, 65 through 71. Again, for you guys listening, this is Psalm 119, 65 through 71. Listen real carefully what David said here. I'm getting ready to close this word today, guys. And we're going to give a time in the presence of God for people, come on, to be ministered to today. Listen to this, quote, You have dealt well with your servant. This is David speaking to the Lord. Oh, Lord, according to your word, teach me good judgment and knowledge. Listen to this. For I believe your commandments. Now, listen to this interesting phrase. Quote, before I was afflicted. Now, the word afflicted here means pain, suffering, or anguish. So David is acknowledging here that he went through a season of pain, suffering, anguish, or quote, affliction. But listen what he said here. Before I went through this season of affliction, pain, suffering, or anguish, before that, I went astray. Whoa. Listen to this. But now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease. Listen to this. But I delight in your law. It is good for me. Listen to this, that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Now, of course, we've got to elaborate on this, because if I don't elaborate on this, we're going to get into some strange aspect of what was taught years ago that I believe had some element of truth to it, but there was a lot of error in it. And let me get into that right now. Listen, you got to hear me. Ready? I wrote this down when I was taking notes. God is not in the business of putting sickness and disease on his children. Let me say that again. God is not in the business of putting sickness and disease on his children. Now stop. Let me switch to an earthly analogy or perspective. Who in their right mind, as a mother, a father, grandmother, grandfather, would say, and again, this is a scenario, would look at your son, daughter, or grandchild and say, you have been completely out of line and have went astray, so come here, I'm going to put cancer on you. I'm going to put a horrible disease on you. Listen, no mother, no father, no grandmother, or no grandfather is going to do that mess. Now, that was taught in a long time ago, that God is going about putting sickness on sons and daughters. No. But, oh, there's a but here. Listen, but at times, God will permit pain, suffering, and anguish to come into the life of a believer for his greater purpose and glory. Because we got to remember, God sees the beginning from the end. We only see the beginning and the present tense, but we don't understand the end or the outcome. Let me explain. And then I'm going to give you some scriptures to back this up. Many of you has heard this, and I'm not going to give every detail on this because you've heard me talk about this. When I got saved 22 years ago, I was earnestly praying for the salvation of my mother. The Lord gave me not only did I have a written word, but God gave me a rhema word. So I had two promises, the written word and a rhema word. And the written word is what in Greek is the logos word. It's the written word. You have it right there in your Bible. And it's the promises of God. You have the written word. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your house and your whole household shall be saved. That's a logos word. It is the will of God that none perish, but all come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a logos. That's a written word. But then I went to a meeting and there was a man of God who did not know me, never met me in his life. And he spoke over me and gave me a word of prophecy about my mother and about me praying for her to be saved. And there's no way he could have known that, but God knew that. So he get, what was that? That was a rhema word. It was a living word. It was a prophetic word. And it bore witness to my spirit because that's exactly what I had been doing. So now I have these two promises, and Paul told Timothy, with the prophecies that have been spoken over you, wage a good warfare. So watch this. So for 5 years, somebody say 5 years, I was praying and I would speak this over my family. Howbeit my mother, I'm using her for an example in this. And I would pray like this: Father, I thank you today that it's your will that none perish, including my mother, and that all would come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So today I lift her up. Today I pray for her. Today I believe that she shall be saved. She shall not be lost, but she shall be saved. And then I would pray the word of God, and then I would shift and begin to make a decree regarding the word, the rhema word, the prophetic word. I would begin to remind God of the word of God that was spoken through his prophet, his servant, the prophet that spoke. And I said, Lord, I thank you that you gave me this word, that you said that you have heard my prayers and that they're not falling on empty ears. And Lord, in due season, if I choose not to give up, if I don't throw in a towel, it shall come to pass. Listen to me. 1 year passed, 2 years passed, still praying, still interceding. 3 years passed, 4 years passed. And listen to me, on the fifth year, 5 years went by. One night I went to bed, had a dream in the middle of the night, and in the dream, I was at my mother's bedside. My mother was laying in the bed. I was at her bedside, and I went into her bedroom. She was laying on the bed, and I grabbed my mother's arm, and I said, Mom, it's time to get up. And my mom could not get out of bed, and she looked at me, and she took her hand, and she put it on a particular place on her body, and she said, I will not get up from this. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, Mom, you got to get up. And I kept trying to pull her out of the bed. And she was emphasizing that she was not going to get up from this. That's the words that was used. So I remember in the dream, I was very distraught. I was very anxious. And that was the dream. That was the sum of the dream. And I woke up. This was about 3 something in the morning. I woke up my wife. And I had tears in my eyes. I woke her up and I said, something's going to happen to my mom. I said, the Lord just gave me a dream, and I know that it was prophetic and God was warning me. So her and I at 3 something in the morning, we got on our knees. We got on our face before God. We began to intercede. We began to cry out. We began to call her name out to the Lord, and we began to earnestly pray over her. And this peace came upon me, or came over me, and it lifted off of me. Now, this was about 4 or 5 years into this. And then, so of course, I wrote down the dream. And shortly after that, I got a phone call. I was at work one day. I'm talking about weeks went by, and I got to work, or I was at work and I got a phone call, and they were telling me, it was my aunt called me and said that they have rushed my mother to the hospital, and that she was bleeding out and all these things were going on. And of course, I was very distraught. I was getting my stuff together. And immediately, when the details was given of what was going on, the Lord reminded me of the dream. And I said, my goodness, this is the dream. This is the dream that I had. So to make a long story short, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and it was affecting the very part of her body that I saw in the dream. Now, what am I talking about today? I'm talking about, watch this, as she's laying in the hospital dying of cancer. I mean, I took the oil in, I prayed for her, but I remember I sat her down on the couch because another promise that God gave me was that he showed me in a dream. I had another dream that I was sitting on the couch and she was there. My aunt was there, and I was leading her back to the Lord because she was completely backslid at the time. And that's why I was praying for her, and that's why I was interceding for her. So I had that dream that she was laying in the bed with the affliction. And then I had a dream that she came back to the Lord. So as time progressed, one day the Lord opened the door for me to go to my to her house. I sat down with her and I had an hour and a half conversation with her. And I brought out the Bible. I brought out stories of the Word of God where individuals were diagnosed with inoperable diseases and how God totally healed them. But I looked at her and I said, listen, God is capable of healing you today. But what profit is it if even if he heals you today and you live to be another 20 years from now, if you still continue in your sin? Come on, you're looking at a preacher today. Listen, I don't believe that just because you got baptized at 5 years old and you've lived like the devil for 45 years of your life, beating your wife, come on, a drunkard, an adulterer, and doing all this other mess, that you're going to slip into the kingdom. Listen, I don't believe that mess, and I believe the Bible doesn't even back that up. And she knew that she wasn't right with God. So listen to me. We're on the couch, and I'm explaining all this to her, and the presence of God comes in that room. And to make a long story short, because I'm trying to be respectful of your time, I lead her back to the Lord. She's weeping. She's crying. I'm weeping. I'm crying. And by the way, you know who else was there? My aunt, who was there when I had the dream. Everything was fulfilled as the dream was given to me from the Lord. So hallelujah, my mom is back with God. She's in right standing with God. She's repented. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. If any man sins, he has an advocate with the Father. Confess your sins. Confess your faults one to another. She did this, and the peace of God came over. She got a phone call while she's dying of cancer. They've given her days to live. She gets a phone call from one of her friends who is crying on the phone and said, I'm so sorry, Mary, for I just heard about what has happened. I'm sorry. And my mom doesn't shed a tear. She's happy. She's got joy. Come on, somebody. Although the outward man was perishing, the inner man was being renewed day by day. And she said, I heard with my own ears. I was sitting there and she said, it's okay. I have Jesus. Now, I said all that to get to this one point. Within about a day or two of that, she was put in hospice because she went downhill. Look, I wish I could have told you today that God totally healed her and raised her up, but he didn't. But she did give her heart back to the Lord. So I go back to her house while she's in hospice. Nobody's at the house. I'm walking through the house and I'm kind of mad. I'm just being honest. I'm a little flustered. I'm a little angry. And I'm having this heated conversation with God. And I'm saying, God, I don't understand. You know, you've got to heal her. And I don't have time to explain all the circumstances because my stepfather was very hard-hardened. His first wife died of cancer. And now my mother was his second wife. And now she's dying of cancer. And I'm sitting here trying to tell God what he needs to do and how he's going to do it. And if he don't do this, then this is going to be the outcome. How stupid. How foolish. Come on. I know none of y'all has ever had that happen. But I'm sitting here having this heated conversation, this dialogue with God and saying, God, you can't allow her to die. You've got to raise her up. You've got to heal her. Because if you don't, then my stepfather was named Jack. I said, Jack is going to harden his heart and he's never going to come to you. And I'm telling you guys, I'm walking and pacing the floor. And I don't ask me to explain this, but I'm telling you, I felt this, the sovereign presence of God come in that house. Just like, I can't explain. It just came like a blanket on me. And I didn't hear an audible voice speaking, but down here in the innermost parts of my spirit, I heard the Lord say, I am God and you are not. And he spoke to me and said, you are telling me this is what's going to happen. That's it. He said, am I not God? Do I not determine the end from the beginning from the end? Am I not Alpha and Omega, the first and the last? And I fell on my knees right there in my mother's house. And I began to repent to God because I was trying to tell him how he was going to do it. And then listen to me, friends. God began, I'm still in the word. I'm still on the chastisement here. God began to speak to me and says, do you not remember the dream I gave you? And I said, which one? He said, the one that she was laying in the bed. I said, yes, Lord, you showed me. You showed me the cancer. And then that's what made me even more mad. And I said, you showed me the cancer and I prayed, but she didn't get healed. Watch this. And then he began to remind me that 5 years prior to that, that when I was on my face before God crying out for her to get saved, that I gave him permission to do whatever he needed to do to keep her from dying in her sins and going to hell. And then watch this. He spoke to me and said, son, I did not put that sickness on your mother. He said, watch this, but I allowed it to come because it was that sickness. Oh, you ain't hearing me today. He said, I permitted the sickness to come because it was going to be through that process, through that trial, through that pain, and through that anguish, and through that suffering, that her heart would be open and receptive. Oh, because, and man, I'm telling you, God, listen, God took me in that moment, in that 20 minutes I'm on my face before God, he began to speak some deep things to me, and he began to show me how, as we are here on the earth, we only see, understand, and comprehend things from a natural perspective of a chronological timeline. We only see things from a temporary perspective. We are not looking at things from an eternal perspective. And God began to show me. He said, I gave you the dream to show you that this was going to be the thing that was going to turn her heart. And it did. Listen, I know you don't want to accept this. I know you don't want to hear this, but some of you, you've got friends. You've got family members. You've got coworkers. Some of y'all might have a husband or a wife. And I'm telling you, you've tried to get them to church. You try to give them the word. You try to lead them tracts. You've been praying for them. You've been interested. You have thrown everything but the kitchen sink that God has given you to give to them. And they're like Pharaoh. They keep hardening their heart. And I'm telling you, there is some people out there that they got to hit all the way to rock bottom before they look up. There's other people that just a soft, gentle goodness of God will lead them to repentance. There's other people that is not the case. And this is why every individual is a unique and different case. Even what Peter said in his writings and his epistles, there is going to be some that you're going to have to save by pulling them out of the flames of hell. So what am I talking about today? God does not put sickness and disease upon us, but sometimes he may permit us to go through things. Because, listen, we have to remember there's an eternal perspective. Yes, I miss her. Yes, it's terrible that she never saw her grandsons alive on this side of heaven. Yes, I wish she was here today. There's times, even though it's been since 2005 when she passed away from this earth, I wish that I could pick up the phone and say every time there's a birthday of one of her grandchildren, I would love to be able to pick up the phone and call her up and say, come on down. It's their birthday. But here's the thing. Yes, that saddens me. And yes, it breaks my heart. But here's the thing that gives me joy and unspeakable and full of glory. And that is to know this, that there is this temporary time that we are separated from her. But as long as I remain in the faith, as long as I continue in the faith, there's going to come a day when I'm going to leave this earth earth, and I'm going to be reunited with her again, and I'm going to see her again, because she is absent from the body, but she's present with the Lord. She has finished her race, and I am still continuing in mine. Watch this. Isaiah, oh, let me pull up the scriptures. I'm done, guys. Let me land the plane. I'm going, this preacher's long-winded. I know. Some of y'all say, my God, how long are you going to preach today? I know I'm long-winded. You don't have to tell me. Listen, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs. I said he's bore our griefs. He's carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Look at this. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Notice that was written by the prophet Isaiah. And it says, we are healed. And then you go over into the New Testament, and Peter says, by whose stripes we were healed. Were, as in past tense, pointing back to Calvary and the cross. Look, Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might fulfill which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, listen what he said, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Listen, I came by to tell you, if God took them and God bore them, he ain't in the business of putting them back on us. Come on, that's terrible theology. God bore our sicknesses and took our infirmities, not so that he could take them and not that he can bear them at the cross so that he can put them back on us. Somebody say that with me. Say, God is not in the business of putting sickness and disease on you. When he bore it and he took them. But when you, and I'm not going to read all this because the time has gotten away from me. But you'll discover when you read in John chapter 9, Jesus comes across a man who was blind from his birth. And the disciples were in was in this dialogue with one another, and they come to Jesus and they say, listen to this. They said, who sinned? Who sinned that this man has been born blind? Was it him or was it his parents? Now, why would they ask him that? Because there was a theology that was present during that time that if you had an affliction or had an infirmity or disease, then by God, you've got to be in sin. Either you've been in sin or your parents have been in sin. But listen what Jesus answered. Listen, he said, neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but the works of God should be revealed in him. So you say, well, how was he blind? Guys, listen, people can suffer blindness through disease, through sickness, through an accident, through fevers, scarlet fevers, through accident, through crazy stuff. We're in a fallen world. This is what irks me when I hear preachers making these dogmatic statements that everyone, for example, I heard a preacher got up recently and basically said every child who has certain diagnosis that has neurological diagnoses or mental disorders is demon possessed. I cringed when I heard that because that's not true. Now, could some of them be demon possessed? Absolutely. But the probabilities that most of them are not. Listen, most people are sick. Most people that are sick is not because you have a spirit of infirmity. It's because of things that they have brought on themselves. They don't eat right. They don't drink right. They don't exercise. They smoke. They drink. They do things that has brought this on themselves. Oh, that's good preaching right there, Brother Ricky. Thank you. I appreciate that. But here's where I want to close with this today. Whew. Listen, some of you, you've either been in the process or going through chastisement. You're going through a pruning process. God is taking you through seasons of chastisement, and he wants to take you into, come on, into a place where you're trained in this, where you recognize what's going on and you yield to the one who has the shears, who's wanting to do some pruning with you. So here's how we're going to pray today. All of us are going to pray today. I'm going to lead us, and I want you to agree with me. Because listen, here's the mirror. I'm holding it up to myself, and I can see. I'm holding up the mirror, and I can hold up this mirror and look and see that Brother Ricky needs some pruning. There's some things in my life that I need the shears to come and prune on me too. So we're going to all pray today. Heavenly Father, I have delivered this word in which I have felt that you've given me to give to the people and even to myself. And I thank you for this word. I received this word, and I pray that I would apply this word today. Father, I give you permission today. I recognize by the word that you, Father, are the one who holds the shears. And I understand that Jesus, you, Yeshua, are the vine dresser. And Lord, that we are the branches that are created to bear much fruit. But Lord, for many of us, I venture to say most of us have some unproductive, dead, and unfruitful things that are attached to us, that are a part of us, that don't need to be there anymore. They're hindering us. They're weighing us down. They're preventing us from going deeper in you, hearing from you, learning from you, seeing from you, and just living the fullness of what you've called us to do and the potential of what you've called us to be and fulfill in our lives. And we ask you today, we lift up our hands today to you, and Father, we give you permission today to help us to lay aside every sin or the sin and the weights that so easily beset us. Lord, cut out of us the things that are weighing us down, that are unproductive and unfruitful. Lord, we know it's going to be painful. We know that it's not going to be joyful. We know that there's going to be a season of anguish, a season of pain, a season of uncomfortability, but we know that the outcome, we know that the end result of this is going to be much fruit on your account and our account, that you may be glorified. Lord, in Jesus' name today, God, we thank you today. Lord, give us the mercy to do this. Give us the grace to do this. Give us the strength to do this. Give us the power and the ability to do what you have called us to do and what needs to be done. And I pray this today, and it's in the name of Jesus, all God's people. Come on, y'all agree with this today? That God's people said amen and amen. Listen, if you've liked this word, you've been encouraged by this word, blessed by this word, blessed by this ministry on a continual basis. Again, don't forget to subscribe to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Don't forget to download our free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. Listen, you guys, please don't tap out yet. I've got a prayer request for you to pray for me about. I'm going to give you a little bit of an update on some stuff that I've been dealing with. I'm going to ask you to pray with me before the end of this broadcast. Again, get the app so that you can have the podcast on Apple, on Android, and you can keep up with our headlines. If you've not yet prayed about becoming a monthly partner, please pray about that today. You can give by the app or electronically, and it's easy to do on the app. Just click on the app, go down to the bottom right there where it says donate. Just click there, and it'll give you the opportunity to do that. If you wish to get by check or money order, again, you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. And again, as always, if you choose to get by check or money order, please include an email address in the letter, in the envelope, or whatever the case may be, so that we can email you personally and thank you for your generous donation, your generous support, monthly partnership, or whatever the case may be for our ministry. And we appreciate you and thank you for that. Listen, I want to give you a real quick update, guys. As many of you know, I have asked you to pray for me I've been dealing with what I thought was, ever since COVID happened back in November, I've had issues with sinus stuff, ears, all that stuff's connected, ear, nose, throat, all that. And it seems like it like exacerbated anything. So if you already had allergies, you already had sinus problems, once you get COVID, it's like just pouring gasoline on the fire. So that was in November. Then in February, I got hit with another cold and my eustachian tubes were blocked, clogged. We got them open. Ears are fine now. Everything's good with that. And then I started having all these, like pains in my eyes. It comes and goes. Just kind of a throbbing sensation, my eyes burning, just irritated. Feels like I got sand in them. Feels like there's something in them. It gets worse at night. And here all the while, I was trying to mark it off as sinus stuff. Even went to the doctor, got stuff for a sinus infection, antibiotics, oral steroids. But I was like, yeah, it doesn't really feel, you got to listen to your body, you know? And I said, it don't really feel like a sinus infection. But as I did more research, I really feel like, and I've got an appointment next Wednesday to an ophthalmologist to get this looked at. But I really feel like I'm dealing with what's called dry eye syndrome. I know it's so generic of a term, but it actually makes perfect sense because of my age and what I do. I'm always looking at a computer, a phone, a tablet, doing research, putting together sermons, doing editing on videos. So there's a lot of screen time there. And because I live in the South, because of sinuses and dry weather and all this stuff, so and because I'm always taking decongestants and antihistamine, so I've had to really pump the brakes because I found out through research that antihistamines and decongestants cause if you have dry eyes to begin with, that's just going to make it way worse. So I've had to really change that. I'm drinking more water. I'm using these Systane eye drops and all that stuff. So it is getting better. It's nowhere like it was 2 weeks ago, but it's still kind of dragging along. And of course, at night, it's a whole lot worse. I'm asking you guys to agree with me. Again, I know this is not a major thing, but it's irritating. It's especially in the line of what I do. I need to be 100% to be able, you know, when I do these research, look at the screen, post articles, do updates, and all this stuff is necessary. Come on. If you were a painter, you would want your hands to be 100%, right? So you understand that. So be praying for me. Listen, I'm open for any tips, in the comment section. Maybe you guys are dealing with this and you manage this or you've overcome this. Please, I am all ears and I would love to hear from you. So again, that's what I'm asking you to be in prayer about for me. I know it's nothing serious because, last month I went to the eye doctor to get a new prescription glasses. I took where they do the puff of air in your eyes and they got that new technology where you look in and it shows all the nerve endings in your back eyes. So there's no worry of anything like glaucoma or anything like that. So I know I'm good on that. So again, it's either sinuses or dry eye, or it's sinuses are causing the dry or one or the other. So I'm pretty confident that that's what we're dealing with. So again, appreciate your prayers on that of agreement that we will find out A, what this is for sure, and B, that we will overcome this. And I have confidence to know, yes, I've got the blue light. I bought the blue light filter for my screen. All my devices, I put in that blue light mode, all that stuff. So I'm doing everything I know to do. A lot of changes. And it's, don't you just love getting older? Guys, that's a little sarcasm, but praise God. So, you know, we're looking forward to the day we have glorified bodies, but until then, we've got to make some changes. Amen. So we love you guys. Thank you for your prayers of agreement, and we'll keep you updated on that. So until then, we're going to sign off for today. We'll be back on tomorrow is Friday. We'll close out our week of podcasting tomorrow with another great message, update, or whatever the Lord puts on my heart. But until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.